Welcome to the Smoking Word.
What's up, everybody? December 8th through the 11th, we will be in Texas, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, and Houston. Get those tickets. Madball will be in the building with Death Before Dishonor, so go out and support real music. Not only real music, support live music. We will be in the building. Bring your best brisket. Anyway, Smoking Word Podcast is always brought to you by CasaTheRock.com. You know the deal. It's my web store. Everything is done in-house by your boy, and we just dropped a lot of brand new items. I want everybody to go to CasaTheRock.com right now and cop the brand new collab, Agnostic Front, Casa The Rock collab we did. It's a little dedication shirt we're doing for my big brother, Roger. Whatever we make off this t-shirt goes to help out for all his medical expenses. I don't know if you people know, but in America, I love it, but our medical system sucks here, and it's real expensive, and Roger's dealing with a lot of big deal, you know, big boy shit. So anybody want to support the Smoking Word Podcast, or forget that, support Roger, support the hardcore movement, go cop that t-shirt at CasaTheRock.com. We also got, I just dropped a brand new Smoking Word t-shirt, everybody. If you're watching this, boom. Smoking Word t-shirt hot off the press. If you want to support the show, again, CasaTheRock.com. We got caps, we got slides, we got it all. Go support. You know the deal. CasaTheRock.com. Shout out to my Patreon family, like always. Because of you, we make this happen. Everybody out there, all you civilians out there, you should be thanking my Patreon family too, because they keep me motivated and keep, you know, all the flyness lit. So shout out to John D. Shout out to Walter Harbert. Well, how you say it? Harbertuck. Shout out to Warlock Cabinets. Shout out to, you know what? Shout out to everybody out there supporting the real underground movement. Shout out to everybody tuning in and subscribing, not to just the Smoking Word, but to all the podcasts, supporting all the businesses, supporting all the endeavors or whatever that people from our planet are doing. Because now more than ever, we need that support. We also come from the greatest scene on the planet. So we got to let everybody know how we show love. We don't talk about it. We be about it. But anyway, I'm really psyched to have my man on the show today. I've been following them for a minute. We're going to get down to the get down on that new flavor from New York City. Let's welcome to the Smoking Word Podcast, Creature from Rebelmatic. Let's set the shit off. Yo, 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 yo.
Yo, 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 yo.
Yeah, yo. We go. There we go.
Yes, sir,
the Creature,
yes, sir.
Feature. Now it's official.
Yes, sir. We here.
Listen, we here. I'm glad I could hear you. I saw you before, but I didn't hear you. Welcome to the Smoking Word.
Hey, listen, it's a pleasure to be here, bro. I appreciate you.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. What's going on? I'm glad to get you on because I've been following you guys, and I was like, yo, you know what? Let me get these dudes on. I've been seeing you a lot. You know, you've been doing your thing for a second, but I was like, lately, and I said, let me get it now, because I'm one of those dudes. I don't like playing games. I'm like, when shit gets in my head, I'm like, go time.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Sir. So what's up with you? Where you at? Where you reporting from?
I'm Brooklyn, but I'm from Corona, Queens, though. You know what I mean? I'm reporting from Brooklyn, but I'm from Corona, Queens.
Listen, you know, I'm gonna tell you something. So, you know, I've been following you guys since you know, more in the later years right now. I've been seeing you around and blah blah blah. But I said, you know, I've been caught up in life. But I was like, you know what? Absolutely. When I knew I was gonna get you, I said, yo, let me go see what's up and let me go look up real quick. I said, because I don't like to look too much shit up, because one, half of it is bullshit. And two, I'm like, absolutely, no, I'm going to have you on. I want to find that shit out here. But I saw something, and then I stopped. And I saw Corona, Queens. And then I stopped right there. I was like, you know what? I want to talk about it here, you know, and I was like, because I'm Corona all day.
I know. I already know.
I'm like, that shit. You know how if you're from Corona, how that shit is. That shit is like something awesome. It's unexplainable to people who ain't from there. You know what I mean?
Exactly. 100%. Like, I knew about you before I ever met you because we got a lot of mutual friends and stuff. So, like, you know, your name always ring bell around the way. So, like, you know,
That's cool. That's cool because, you know, around there too, there wasn't a lot of hardcore dudes. And you know, there's always been in like Corona Heights, you know, a little bit of the metalheads, the Italian dudes with the metal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been Mexican dudes with the metal shit too, sprinkled, you know, all around. But in general, that shit was like, you know, wasteland, you know, coming up. You know what I mean? As far as our type of shit, you know what I mean? So I was like, but all right. So what you were born in Queens or you just came up
born
there?
Born in Harlem, raised in Queens, though. Like I went to school. I went to 145. I was 145.
Oh, 145. Yeah.
Born, you know what I'm saying?
That's my park. That's my park right there, too.
Bro, listen. Gee,
you don't understand. You were like probably a couple feet at all. Like you were that close.
I've been to the park. Like, I don't know. You know Dave Cintron?
Yeah. Damn, I haven't heard his name in a minute.
Dave brought me to the park. Dave brought me to my first CB shows, man, 89. Sick of it all at Murphy's Law. Yeah, so that's kind of how, like, before. That's how, you know, I've been to the park. I've definitely been to the park like 89.
So let me ask you this, because I especially like forget just anybody. I always ask, yo, how you got into this? Because this, you know, this is underground shit. If it's, you know, straight from the punk rock or the hardcore shit. But especially being if you black, if you Spanish and you ain't from fucking, you know, Manhattan. It's like, I'm always like, yo, how the fuck you found this? You know what I mean?
Well, you know. It's funny, like, I was kind of, like, you know, in the metal. I got into metal before I got into, like, to fucking hardcore.
And yeah, most people.
You know, obviously, like, hip-hop, but then, you know, I went to high school in Fresh Metals, Francis Lewis High School, where a lot of hardcore kids went to.
And the flyest girls were in Forest Hills out there. Let me tell you, I was in Newtown, and I went to a Newtown in 61, and I used to try to sign up. I signed up for, I'm 73, and I signed up for, but my grades wasn't that good, and but they had the girls out there. But look, go ahead. I'm flashing back.
Not for sure. So I, you know, I was in the metal, like, you know, listening, and I got more immersed into it and stuff, and like, you know, from metal, like listening to thrash and shit, love like that, from like the Metallicas and the
how you found that though.
Well, even, you know, around the way, I was listening to, like, before I got into music, I was into sports. So I was into sports from, like, 7 to 14. Just all I wanted to play was sports. And then suddenly, I went to high school to play football, actually. And then my high school didn't have a football. I was supposed to go. I got accepted to John Adams High School. And my guidance counselor convinced me not to go because of the Howard Beach thing happened around that time. Mm. Like, no, you shouldn't go. And I was like, yo, I don't care about that. I want to go play sports. She's like, no. And I was, and this time you couldn't go on the internet and just check to see if the other school had a football team. So she's like, I'm like, this is a football team? She's like, yeah. I was like, all right, well, I'll go there and try out for that team. Yeah. They didn't have a football team. I kind of stopped playing sports. And then just music, like, I always was listening to, like, from the U68 channel back in the days.
Hell yeah, that was my shit.
So I'm listening to hip. Yeah, so I'm listening to, like, you know, hip-hop and whatever else is on there. And then I would catch a little bit of, the metal, you know, like, from the Quiet Riots and all that other stuff. But it's, like, casually listening to it, and it just start getting more. You know, Ozzy Osbourne, Bark at the Moon, bought that tape, and then it just start more metal. Start going to shows to the Ritz and the Moors and stuff. And from then, like, hardcore, the Wild Things were, the joint with Outburst and
Mark Dillon. Hell yeah. That was my shit, too,
That was the one that kind of was introduced. Like, oh, shit, and then it was like, Gorilla Biscuits. Then people are like, yo, you got to listen to Minor Threats. And then it's the
rabbit hole, yeah.
Yeah. Then it's, but check out Bad Brains. Yeah. And then it's like, yo, come to CB, check it out. And then y'all, the demise demo, you know? Yeah,
crazy.
And, and seeing Biohazard opening for Creator at the Lemoore's. So it kind of like casually, but like when I got into hardcore, I realized like it spoke to me more than metal. Like I love metal, but I felt like metal was something that was like some shit that you dig. But like hardcore, oh shit, these cats look like they from around the way, or like you know, it's more.
I could do that. I could do that.
I can do it. More relatable. So in like high school, I was in a band in high school, and you know, for like a year, just a high school band. Battle of the bands playing like places like February's and Nobody's and all that.
What was
stuff
the name
like
of the band? What was the name of the band?
Short Notice.
Ain't a bad name because usually first early bands are fucking whack.
Yeah, bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was Short Notice. And we was, you know, and then from high school, it kind of like, you know, I left high school at 16 to get my GED at Elm Corps. And
I did that shit too. I went to Elm Cover after school job shit, which you know whatever right. or some other shit. But I got my GED too when I got thrown out of Newtown. But shout out to you GED motherfuckers out there.
Absolutely. So I went there and just kind of like I don't know, always is in the hardcore from there. But then you know I got more immersed back in the hip hop. So I started rhyming like seriously. And I don't know, you probably even know one of my rhyme partners, my boy Gab Gotcha, man. That's my brother.
Yeah, I don't like. I know I might have met it crossing before for forever. Yeah. The name is always around in the neighborhood. Yeah. And let me ask you this: when you did the band at first, it was always singing. That was the, you always wanted.
Yeah, always singing. That's all. That's kind of you know. I'm not really good at playing instruments, man. I can like beatbox a bass line or guitar, but like I'm like the first time I just like, oh shit, yeah, this is what I want to do. And actually, honestly, seeing HR was like, oh shit, yeah, okay. And then just listening to like the Cro-Mags first shit and Jeer.
Yeah,
dude. I really like fucking Jeer. Jeer's voice was dope to me. So
yeah.
And a lot of more shit, but like, you know, that was always singing, man.
Yeah, no, that's dope because that's you know, singing is also like that's a rough thing early. Like, you know, not everybody's meant to be a singer, not even meaning technique wise, but it's a ballsy position right. in the band. You know, I won't tell my singer that. I won't tell any other singer that, but I'll tell you know, I'll let you know that. But it's a ball, you know, because you are naked up there. You know what I mean? Basically, it's you up front. You know, you gotta be, and that's why we young. I think it's dope because young, you don't give a fuck. I was one of those dudes who I need to hide behind something. So that's why bass was perfect.
Right. I wanted to be out in the front, man. I wanted to be out in the front. And, you know, in those days, too, we'd probably hang out with one of your boys, definitely one of your boys, Frank Samara. You know
what I mean? Yeah, of course, Frank.
I know Frank since then, since high school. Since high school, I've known Frank.
There you go. I was just bullshitting with him the other day. Text, that's my brother right there. Of course. Yeah, you know. That's crazy. That's crazy. When you were doing the... Where you did the Battle of Bands in Queens?
Yeah, at Francis Lewis High School.
Did you ever do Lady of Lords?
No, we didn't do Ladies of Lords. We did Francis Lewis, and then we did like spots like Nobat. My first show was at February's.
February's. But February's was like a real spot. The rest was like a treat.
February's was like our guitarist and bass player was in another band. And we went on this just to show with them, like, you know, to see their show. And they were like, yo, there's no open event. Like, yo, y'all want to play? Fuck it. Because our drummer was in. I was there like, fuck it, let's do it. I'm like, yo, we got like 20 minutes. Let's just go. And we just, you know, went. That was the first show.
I love about this kind of crazy music where it's you could do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you could do that kind of crazy shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and how long did you live in Queens for?
I mean, from 7 to like not that long ago.
So you were there the whole time with the bands and the whole shit with the music all that before you also talk.
I was in Queens. I went to school. When I was in high school, I lived in Queens, man. I went to like, you know what I mean? GED school, I was in Queens, all that shit. Like when all of the battle bands, I was in Queens.
Where you think your GED school at?
Elm Corps.
Oh, at the Elm Corps, yeah. I did a job thing there, but I did mine's at Queens College.
Queens, Queens.
Queens. Ezek used to roll up because he was fronting like he was actually getting an education, trying to be a lawyer or some shit. Yeah, he'd come to the window and fuck with me. Him and my bro, JM, they look at me in the window while I'm trying to do my GED shit, knock on my window, fuck with me. Crazy. I'm thinking about that shit now. It's crazy. And let me ask you this. Yeah. How was
Shout
it?
Shout out to Ezek, too.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out to E. For me, it was no problem because everybody knew in my neighborhood that I got down because from young I was wild. Right. We were doing our thing, but I was a skin when that skinhead shit was only the people thought it was that Geraldo Rivera white power shit. Yeah. And I was going to 61 and in Newtown skin down at the height of that shit. But I was like, but people knew me and they were like, they used to tell me, "Yo, Hoya, how you get down with that white boy shit? Yo, that's some Nazi shit." Bro, and I used to be like, this is why I ask people. And I used to be like, "Man, you just don't know what time it is." Like, I could tell how you came at me if you were worth, like, let me put you on kind of thing.
And in
this type of shit, if it's hardcore punk or anything real extreme or whatever, and coming from where we come from, it's like you could be, there's two type of people that you could be. The type that falls back and says, "Oh, yo, there's too much attention. I don't like people kind of coming at me for liking some shit." And you just start liking what everybody like. You kind of sheep.
Or you go more like that.
And then you got motherfuckers popping up on the street like you motherfuckers playing. And you got motherfuckers like me that I used to be like, "What?" I was in those, those schools. I try to explain to people. Yeah. I'm like, I was like DMs, shaved head. And besides, it's all Spanish and black kids and four white kids that were like bust in.
When I went to high school and I come back around the way, I got like a motherfucking a Warzone shirt on, shirt on. I got a flight jacket. Like, what the fuck? And then I had locks in high school. So my friends knew, they were like, "Oh shit, yeah, I'm some bad brain shit." And I take my hat off. The black kids are like, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing in your hair? Yo, what the fuck are you doing?" And they're like, "Yo, how you start listening to this kill your mother, kill your father shit?" And I was just like, "Oh, get the fuck
away." Here we go. And
get the fuck away from me.
The same shit like Puerto Rican Mike, Puerto Rican, same thing with him. He was mad metalhead, same shit. All our areas had your little metal guys. There's always a metalhead dude to sprinkle, but not enough in there. Then you got same thing. Mike was like that. Mike was like leather, the whole metal. Right. They knew him as Metal Mike and shit. Right. You know what I mean? It's pretty crazy. Then like being in certain, but you get those type of personalities. Like, we got to be strong where we're like, and that's the special shit about this our scene. Like, the whole underground hardcore, the whole punk rock shit is that it's that strong, and it takes over you in such a way where you'll do that as a young kid. You'll be like, you'll learn how to say fuck you real quick to people. Yeah.
Dude, listen.
Listen,
that it forges your identity. For me, it's like hardcore showed me that, like, look, this it was like tangible. But then, like I said, I dove back into hip hop, man. I was in a group and we got signed and all that stuff. And but hardcore was always in my heart. And, but I started putting out music and hip hop as well. We got our first single was like produced by the Beatnuts and stuff, my group. Yeah. So shout out.
That's to my Juju. Brother. That's my homie. That's my brother.
That's my people.
I know Juju since I'm 11 years old.
See?
I used to make Juju. I was 11 years old, 12 years old. I used to make him do the fucking Crush Groove, the run. I used to make him do that shit for me because he was an ill DJ. I know him since I'm 11. You know what I mean? That's my big brother, and he's the first dude I knew that made it. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Crazy. That's my brother. Shout out to Juju. Yeah. I'm trying to get him on here too.
Shout out to Juju.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll do it. He produced our first. My group was called Triflix. He produced our first single back in like 96. So yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, and then how's that? It's crazy different world, right? The whole rock and roll, which meaning like the hard this type of and then the hip hop world, right? It's so nuts, right?
Wait. I mean, the underground is similar, but it's different, man. You know, it's like it's like the hardcore shit is like, you got to play. You know, hip hop, you can go record 20 songs and then, like, you know what I mean, whatever, it starts shaking. Hardcore, you might play 20 shows before you actually go in the studio and record. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, yeah, all right, now we need to record a demo because we're playing a lot of shows because people are fucking asking us. And hardcore, you'll have a t-shirt and a demo will sell at shows and not have a deal and already playing shows. Where hip hop, you'd be like, I'm going to the studio again. I'm going to the studio again. I'm going to the studio again. I'm freestyle in my corner, but I don't think it's the same. Like, hardcore is based on performing live.
Yeah.
If you can't bring it live, no one gives a fuck who signs you. It's like, yo, they suck live or they fire.
So yeah, yeah.
That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's that, you know, that's what I tell people. I was like, you know, this is a, you know, it's a live music. It's a fucking, it's not just the music. The energy is really live. That's the whole point of this music. I say it's crazy when you give it, like, you don't even gotta, even if you don't fall in love with it, you're either going to hate it or you're going to really appreciate it. Even if you ain't like, you're going to get it. Cause I tell people, I go, they go, oh, sometimes people, I tell, they go, what do you do? And I explain to them, I play in a band, hardcore. If I get into it and then they're like, yo, but it's too crazy for me, you know? And I go, you ever feel angry? They go, yeah. I go, okay, then. There's a time and place for everything. You know, I'm not listening to fucking, you know, Slayer every minute, fucking 5 minutes, you know?
Exactly.
You know, and vice versa. It's like crazy. And fucking, yeah, and then fucking, so, all right, so you were doing that. So you said you started doing the hip hop shit and why, but you just got turned off and then you started with the band again?
I started off in band. Like, I started my first foray into music was with a band. And then, you know, I got to travel with hip hop, you know, like do a lot of shit, really cool shit, put out albums. I still rhyme, you know what I mean? Work with a lot of dope people, travel Europe, did a lot of shit. And then I felt at one point, I felt like I hit a fucking ceiling. I was like, man, this shit it's not the energy I want. I need to go. And I was like, yo, I need to get back to playing bands again. And then I ran into a kid that was like, yo, I've been wanting to play with you since high school. And I was like, oh shit, because I was just thinking about fucking playing in a band again. Yeah. So that's kind of how Rebelmatic started. And then, you know, little by little, more different people comes. My guitarist is from around the way. He saw us play like a show. He's like, yo, you ever need a guitarist? And that's how he's been in the band since. And it's just kind of like.
Who came up with the name and how the name came up? It was a dope name.
Thank you, bro. I came up with the name. I was just like, you know, like, I'm good with coming up with names and titles and shit. So I was just like, I'm a big Public Enemy fan. So the whole Rebel Without a Pause thing, I just thought Rebel Without a Pause. And then I just like the Matic, you know, like the. We hip hop kids,
yeah, Illmatic, of course.
Exactly. So like Illmatic, Rebel Without a Pause. I was like a Rebelmatic, and it just sounds like something. It sounds like something that's already dope. Like, you know what I mean? It just sounds like, yo, what? It's basically saying like, once you know what you're rebelling against, you don't got to think. You just be.
You know what I really, really like about you guys? That even if they're a big influence on you, which I don't know or not, but you don't sound like the Bad Brains. And that's what I really like, because it's easy to get, oh, yo, we're a bunch of black dudes and we're going to, you know, do this and kid. And I was like, you got your own shit, which is dope because it's fresh, but it's with the right elements. I was blasting that shit today, like going over. I would always, whenever you put something out here, but I was like, let me hear it right now. I've been just, since we've been talking, I've been blasting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man. It's dope. It's refreshing, and keep doing what you're doing because you're in the right direction to do two things. One, that shit is still our world. And number two, that shit is something that could do something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I really think that because I was like, it got a lot of room, and you already hit spots like that. It got a good vibe, a good flavor. So. Salute to you for doing that, and that's what I like, because it's easy to do that. And I'm like, I'm glad they don't do that, because it's easy to be like, of course, we know that.
Yeah.
Same thing. If you're a Spanish kid, I like map. Okay, all right. We don't want to hear, but let's go. What else? You know what I mean? Like, that.
Thank you, brother. I mean, you know what? Bad Brains is an influence, but we don't. It ain't Bad Brains. Just to, you know, it's like music, bro. I'm from Corona, so like I grew up listening to bachata, merengue, funk, hip hop, all that shit. So our guitarist is the, you know, Dominican and Puerto Rican. So, And I grew up with Colombians, Dominicans, everyone. So all that shit's in our music. The flavor, that bop. That's there. So we can't... I would be doing a disservice to us to just be like a Bad Brains tribute
band. You know what I'm, and I'm glad. And I could tell it wasn't thought out on it because I could tell by the music is what you guys are doing. I'm like, just keep doing what you motherfuckers are doing. But it's dope and all that way because that's... Like, I've seen you guys all, you know, all the live shit and when you put stuff up, I was watching it in the whole, like, in the shot. Like, and I was like, and this is what I like, too. And I'll tell you another thing that I like, because we take on with Madball, we've done this throughout the whole years where we take the D. I say it as a slogan fucking around for my personal shit, but the fly DIY. Where it's a do-it-yourself, but I saw you guys do it even with your videos. There's some slick videos, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I like that you guys do that.
Well, I appreciate it, bro. We work and we like, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
hold up, check.
You got to put up or shut up. You got to show and prove that you are what you say you are. So to me, it's like, yo, let's do it. Let's do that shit. Let's do. And honestly, like with us, it ain't. It's like the band, but it's our what's the name too. Like we got our crew. So you know, there's people in our team that we put all our money together, even to get the equipment and the PA and the generator and
that's
do all that.
So, that's you know, dope. Hell yeah.
Yeah, like right now we're about to go back on the road in January. So we just like, yo, are we gonna rent this van or we're gonna just buy a van? You know what I mean? Yeah. We're also like, yo, fuck all that dumb shit. We about to stay on the road. Like we about to stay on the road.
If you can make it happen, I advise definitely it's worth it to get into get a van for yourselves. In the long run, it's gonna be the best. If you can make it happen. But
that's the goal.
Yeah, no, but that's dope. That's dope. And let me ask you this: what all the guys in your band, were they all in other bands or there was their first bands?
Well, look, my guitarist is his first band. My bass player, he was actually a guitarist in another band, but like, you know, nothing that was like made noise, but he played before. Our drummer's been in, you know, he's in our drummer's ODB's brother, RZA and Jizz's cousin.
Oh shit,
He was in a band called Funk Face too.
Listen, of course. Rewind. Well, that's my Frank and Jeff, that's my brothers. That's my big brothers.
Queens.
Not only Queens. And skateboarding and Frank Usuman, that's my bro. He was an ill bass player. And I bought a case off of him. You're giving me flashbacks. I bought a case off of him fucking 30 years ago, fucking 25 years ago. That's my brother. But I would go see Funk Face because he was another guy that was doing it from around the way.
Yeah. So what's the name? Our drummer used, you know, he played Funk Face and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, I mean, we all been doing music for a minute, man, and the core of us have been together for like me, the guitarist, and the bass player. We've been together for 8 years solid, us three. We have different drummers. We have, you know, we've been around a little longer than that, but us three have been like, boom, you know what I mean? So it makes it kind of easy what we're doing.
And where you guys rehearse at? You guys got a spot, a rehearsal studio in Brooklyn?
Yeah, probably The same block that we be doing the what's the name of, but now we be rehearsing down the Lower East Side, man. We be rehearsing in Rivington. We just be like, let's just go. Because we play so much, sometimes we don't even we play three times a week. We're like, yo, let's just play. We don't gotta rehearse. We just, you know, we're gonna play 14, 15 songs. We that's in our head already. We know what we're doing.
Now that shit got me amped when I saw you guys do those pop-ups when you were just like that, yo, fuck that, we playing, like kind of shit, like, you know, in whatever way. That shit got me amped. And I'll say, obviously you were just wanting to get, you know, what were you thinking when you guys decided, yo, let's make this shit happen?
Well, you know, it came down to like, so we had a record come out, our album Ghost in the Shadows came out. We were working with this label that we're no longer working with, so I'm not going to mention them. So our album came out, we were getting great press, all this good stuff. And I was like, damn, we ain't going to be able to tour this shit. And we got all this press, what the fuck are we doing? And then we were just like, yo, you know, everything's going down, unemployment, everyone's just doing whatever. And they're like, yo, let's do this. How much is this shit? We seen people playing on the street, but no one was playing like hard shit. People were playing acoustic shit in the park. You know, like we were like, oh, that's dope. But we was like, yo, and then my guitarist was like, yo, dude, we fuck around play through this shit. And I was like, yeah, you know, I've been talking about playing the street for a while. But he's like, yeah, I don't see no one like, you know, I see people playing in the park, but they ain't, I said, they ain't playing like amplified shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we knew the block where we play, the block we've been on, we play on, like, we've been on that block for like years. Like we rehearsed on that block. Our old drummer like lived on the block. That's like our block in Brooklyn. So we was just like, let's try it. Let's just try it. Let's just do it and see what happens. Yeah. We don't know what's gonna happen. We don't know if it's gonna be successful. Let's just do the first one. First one worked. People came out. Okay, let's do another one. Second one worked. Third one. Then it was like, yo, okay. And so we made sure that it was like you had to DM us because we just put the location out there. We fuck around, show up, there's 1,000 people there, and now we got a fucking problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we kind of want to like keep it, you know what I mean? Like if you're interested, ask us, we'll let you know where it's at. And then it just kept going. And then we're like, oh shit, we're like the only one playing out here in the street. And that was like, I mean, since September 2020, we were, you know, besides like up to December of 2020, then we took a couple months because it got real cold. Then we got back at it in March. So we did 33 pop-up shows within like the last year.
Working. You Jamaican? That's why. You're like, you working.
Nah, I'm not Jamaican, man.
Yeah.
My family from the South, man.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, you working. I need to be working that. We got like 6 shows for us, man. A handful. We're like, you know, doing one of those wherever. I mean, now things opened up and it's whatever up you want to call it. But doing a handful, so it was good. But I do think even people seeing that, I think more than the people that even got to see you there live, like those videos, I think they did a lot going around. Like they helped, they added to the fire in a good way. Bro, like, you know what I mean? Great. Like showing people great. Like, yo, like you said, like, listen, like I say it every morning. The morning isn't going to fuck itself. You know what I mean? You got to do it yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah, every morning I say it, it's like, and that's our whole shit. But people, that you know, it's a 101 rule, lifestyle, whatever, in our world. But it's getting lost in our world to some people, I feel like.
Yeah, because you know what? People get comfortable. And it's like you get older, people like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to yell, dude, this and that. And it's like, listen, tell people what they need to be careful. Tell people be careful. You don't want to do that. Listen, it's another space in the street that people could stand on the side of this block and not be near people until they don't feel like that. You know, there's ways to do things.
Yeah.
So we just figured out ways to do things. But listen, I'm not going to stop because people like, you know, like we in this for the long haul. So it's like, let's do our shit, man.
Yeah.
And we feel like this, you know, label, no label, booking agent, no whatever. We're going to get it done.
You know, hell yeah, and that's the way you guys. Same thing that was with us. You know, early on, obviously, you know, we were lucky. You know, the whole AF thing and whatever. Yep. But in reality, we self manage. Nobody, we don't owe nobody nothing. You know, we do everything on our own. We've done it like that. You know, he manages the band. You know, we have a booking agent, but everything is done in house and that type of shit where we could just roll up if we want and that stop. But that's how it's. That's why we feel we still loved what we do. You know, we love what we do because that we still got the freedom. What we call the shots. Nobody tells us what the fuck. And you know what? We know nobody's going to hook us up. Ain't, you know, Metal Hammer or whatever magazine or webzine is popping. Ain't knocking down my fucking door. Isn't hitting my emails up. My web box or whatever you motherfuckers do now. I don't even know what's popping anymore. But they ain't knocking. They're not ringing. I'm not getting email drops. But, you know, we do it ourselves. That's what I like that you guys. Yeah. Boom, boom. And then I saw that you guys went to California, right?
Yeah, we went to, I mean, we went to Cali. We went to Cali, did a show with Angelo from Fishbone. That's our homie. But we went out there for work. Like, you know, like the band got hired to work with this rapper, you know, this big ass rapper to do some shit. He wanted a quote unquote punk band, black punk, whatever, you know, the fuck.
Yeah.
And whatever. We got paid to do it and it didn't come out, but it got us a trip to Cali. Oh, and then we went to Cali. We went to we was out in Vermont too. We did a skate park in Vermont. Then we did a tour with our friends, Weed Eaters, for like they're like a doomy kind of sludge band. We played with them from like September 1st to the 18th. We did about 15 dates with them in September. But we've been playing. I mean, since last year, we played about 60 shows already.
Yeah, you know what I mean? No, and that's dope. And did you see any difference? Because you've been active since, you know, people weren't playing. Now more people are playing. Right. Are you seeing any? You seeing any difference in any way? In any how people are? What's the? Because you got right now. You more. What do you call it? I'm more green than you in this new one. You got more shows under your belt in this new era. So man, I'm just saying, you know, the lay of the land a little bit more right now, like in general, like what do you think it's, how's it feeling to you? What's the difference?
It feels like if venues get silly, take it back to the streets. That's what it always feels. That's what it feels like. So yeah, we go and do venues, whatever, but if it gets ridiculous and funny, hey man, take it back to the streets. Like it's everything. Like this is street music. You're a regardless, and that's great. And it's a music that you have to want to be into. So yeah, it's changing. You know, people are getting more comfortable being in venues and all this other stuff. It's a lot of you know the bureaucracy with playing venues. What's going on? To me, I'm either way, listen, I was ready to play on the streets for whatever. Like, I didn't care. Like, even if they were like, yo, the venue, you can't play. I'm like, I don't care, dude. Like, I'll play. We'll fucking, you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to make this shit happen. But now that it opened up and we could tour and stuff, we're going to tour. We're going to do it. We're doing it all. We're going to do whatever it takes to get us this shit to where it needs to be and bring it to the people. Because this shit is for us and for the people. You know what I mean? And the people showed us that. They showed us that by, you know, like responding and reciprocating and sharing the videos and stuff. But it's changing a little bit. But my thing is like this: we got like 16 songs for our next album already. So I'm not even. I'm already like.
You know, I'm ready to. Do you have a label? What do you got? What's the plan with that? Then that's dope.
The last album was on a label. We're gonna see what's up. We're gonna, you know, it's recorded. We're gonna mix and master it and all that stuff. Get the artwork done. We want to get everything done for ourselves first, and then we'll present it to somebody and see if they're gonna offer something. Because I'm not letting no one else own anything of our shit. I don't want no one owning nothing of us. And no, you can license our album. I don't want no one owning any percent like of our. And I don't want to get into the business aspect of shit. But I just say I don't want nobody.
I know you mean though.
None of our shit. You know what I mean?
And I think it's good with you guys even doing it this way, even if it was not planned or planned, and it's a real grassroots style of where you build your fucking brand up first, you give your band worth, and then it's a little bit of a gamble, but that's what you do when you feel good about your own shit. You're gonna invest in your own shit, and you're gonna say, you know what? I think this is the shit. Well, I'm gonna take my chance, and you gotta really love that. And that's the people that take it that next step. Is that you gotta go for it? If that shit was just that easy and handed to you, there'll be a billion bands. Bands don't last because they can't last that fuck.
It's a lot. It's there's a lot of commitment, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of discipline, a lot of things that. You know, it's not a lot of people see the glory, you know, boy, better than anyone. They see the glorious side of it, but it's a lot of work and a lot of dedication. So, I mean, we're here for that. We're here for it all. We're here to work. We're not taking days off. Because even if we're not playing, there's other stuff to be done. New merch to be made, new connections to be made. So there's always stuff to be done. But the album will be done soon. Like, you know, we have an album, probably an album EP worth of stuff ready already, like record it, start mixing it, mastering it. We want to control our own fate, man. I need to go into business partnerships with people. I don't expect these people to like understand what the fuck we're doing. I got to tell them what we're doing.
I got to show them
what we're doing. So when they come with us, they say, look, help us get to this or leave us the fuck alone. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not impressed by being signed to your label.
And where you recorded it at?
We recorded in Long Island. We recorded in Long Island. This cat, he's a good guy. Got a couple Grammy nominations. He's not like, you know, he's he's under the radar guy, but he's a good guy. He's been up in Baldwin.
Yeah, that's dope. But get out, yeah, but that's dope. But my boy lives out there in Baldwin.
Yeah, Chrome Suckers from Baldwin too.
Yeah, oh yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. And fucking that's that's dope. And fucking how you like are you a studio guy? Because there's some dudes that like being in the studio, and then I know there's guys that want no part of it. You gotta like
I'm with it all, dude. Studio's easy for me. That ain't really, you know, I knock shit out a couple takes. It ain't a big deal. Literally, we knock our albums out quick because we record them like for live, and we just record them, knock them out together, maybe just scratch vocals, come back, fix the vocals up, overdub shit, and we're not really like, we don't do all the bells and whistles. We want it to sound how we want it to sound and big, but we don't usually record songs until we perform them out live.
Yeah.
So like 90% of our music, we play live before we even record them. So when it's time to record, it's like, all right, how many songs are we doing? We got 10 songs. Let's knock it out. How many I want to knock out today? Everything. What? Yeah. We're like everything. We're knocking everything. Intro out, everything. Knocking out right there. Vocals to everything. I'll come back and fix anything that needs to be fixed, but we're knocking shit out right then.
And it's hard because in general, and it's another dope thing about you guys where I can't pinpoint a full style, but I know everybody, which is dope, but what every musician does in the studio is when we feed off of ideas on what we would like, even if we're not sonically sounding like it. I try to explain to the people out there who aren't musicians that, like Madball, we'll go in for a record and we'll say, okay, this shit got to sound. It got to be like Black Sabbath with, you know, the Cro-Mags meets Breakdown. But we mean, they may not be one riff that sounds like any of those bands, but, you know,
but that's
the vibe, that's what we want. As a style, where you guys are at now, what you think would be some of the flavors in that fucking in that pot? Because it's hard, which is hard to pin. Which, well, again, I'm glad it ain't the fucking Bad Brains.
Right.
No offense to the Bad Brains, but you know what I mean. That was so easy. Besides that, you know what I mean. I'm not a super Bad Brain fan. I love like certain songs, I'm just glad anybody who, if we're not redheaded, automatically they're like Bad Brains, right? Spanish.
Yeah. Listen.
Let me tell you, I love that about you guys, big time. Bad Brains.
Thank you. People come up to us still and say that you're the Bad Brains.
I'm absolutely not.
I know. I'm like, we can sound like anything. You're going to say the Bad Brains. Honestly, it's on the song, man. It's on the song. Like, that's why our sound is different, because we're not looking to make the ultimate hardcore record. We're not looking to make the ultimate funk wreck. We're just like, oh, that riff's dope, blah blah blah. Oh shit, I'm gonna write some shit to that. Let's do it. Oh, I got a part for that too. Boom boom boom. And it's like, that's fire. Let's do it. So that's why song to song we sound different. Even vocally, I do a little shit different, because we just making music organically. So I mean, we all listen to hip-hop, we all listen to funk, some of us listen to hardcore, we all listen to metal, we're like music people. So all of that comes in, the meringue comes in, all the just changing. We'd be like, I might be like, yo, I heard some shit and like, you know, some Fela Kuti shit. And then I might be like, yo, some fucking Sabbath shit. And then I don't know. And then I'll be like, but I like this drive from this. So, but it's nothing specific, but it's everything. It's New York.
Hell yeah, for sure. And that's something you guys got to keep, because that's a dope space to come out the box. Even though you ain't coming out the box, you're kind of coming into you're coming out the box where you kind of coming into your own now, where people are knowing you for this. So with this being that versatile off the grip is dope. Right. And again, like I said, all right, yeah, nobody, I ain't saying your whole plan for the band was, yo, we want to be fucking win a Grammy. But the style of music you guys are doing is dope, where it's versatile enough where I could see it doing some, you know, other type of shit, because it got that flavor to, which is dope. And still keeping songs in our world too, which is a hard thing to do.
We're not trying to be nothing but us. Like, so we do something that's like, oh, that's like some, that's some New York hardcore shit. It's like, because that's what, you know, that's what, of course. Oh, that's some like fucking James Brown funk shit. Of course. I mean, it's not even to us, it's not even a big deal, because that's just what we do. And that's what we're listening to the radio. We're like Eric B. and Rakim. Oh shit, G Rap. Oh shit, Mobb Deep. Oh shit, Hector Lavoe. Oh shit, Oh shit, Madball. Oh, you know, like whatever, Slayer, yeah. Metallica. That's kind of who we are.
And you just named everybody that were made Madball because you're a Corona dude, and because the same shit where Madball is fucking James Brown, where you know that's what it is. That's what Madball is. You don't know we all our music. We got things what we call JBs in them because they're all those slides we do. Because when he be live, he'd be like, hit me, bam, bam, and that's all Madball shit is James Brown. If he knew how many bands took that shit from him, we would all owe him a big check. But
our sound is described as James Brown in a mosh pit. That's how we describe it. You know?
Hell yeah.
It's like it's gonna be the funk there. It's gonna be the screaming. It's gonna be all kind of shit. It's gonna be like y'all heavy on the groove. We're heavy on the groove. Like and I just think that's because we all listen to very groove oriented music, and we're from neighborhoods that beat is there.
Yeah, you know,
that bop is there.
Exactly.
So, yeah. We here to make music and make good. You know, and I'm happy that our music is like people get it that it reflects a lot of different shit. It's like oh shit, okay, yeah, I hear the hardcore, but I hear the funk, I hear hip hop, I hear a lot. Damn, they got some shit, you know, and that's dope. And we're gonna continue that because that's just who we are.
That's just
who we are.
Now let me ask you this with the recording shit. So you were saying before, like, so a lot of your recordings, I know a lot of it's real raw, like lifestyle recording. Would you ever go in and do like a click track recording?
I mean, we recorded together, but we still recorded with a click track too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what we do. Okay, I wasn't sure if you were just going in like
some bands
want to keep, you know, the live, and they're going live.
No. We recorded together, but it got to be a click, bro. We got to, this shit, look, we professional.
Absolutely.
We ain't trying to be, we're not.
And that's what I'm saying, but you know what, again, what's dope, this is what I was saying, because you can't tell, and it sounds good, and I was saying that because I was like, these guys are good players. I could tell by the players. I said, they're good players. So to be in the studio, I wonder if they would want to record to a click. You know, that's why I was wondering, of course.
We made ourselves start recording to a click.
Yes.
Like, we didn't always want to, but we said, yo, listen, this shit got to be like, we want that shit to be. And we know, like, because, you know, like before we had recordings earlier and say, oh, shit, fuck the click. Let's just do it that raw. And I say, yeah, but let's step it up. Let's step this shit up. Let's show that, like, you know, we could still, you know, have that diversity and still have that tightness. So,
absolutely. Now, and that's important because, and I'm glad that's also refreshing because you guys keep that shit still sounds mad raw. And that goes to prove that, listen, you can still do shit on time and keep the shit raw, which we know also because that's what we've done. We've always done that. Early on, I was on that. We were on that same tip. We were like, yo, nah, the live shit, the fear. Right. And then it's like, okay, now you want the shit to be like somebody. I forgot who was it that told me, but they were like, look at most people will never get to see you live. This is what they told me. I don't remember who told me. They're like, so you want the best representation of your shit out there as perfect as you want perfect to be. And then I was like, word. And I was like, word. Our shit, like, you know, the demos always sound raw and this, but when you get a good, big sounding, well executed and everything down, you're like, wow, but that sounds like college.
That's like a movie.
It's a movie, like soundtrack. Yeah, it's a different level. And people that may not get it unless they do music. It's one of those things that's a feeling. It's like time in, you learn and an evolution and
growth and just and like I said, It's balanced between technique and feeling because you still want the feel, but you're like, no, let's refine this. We're refining what we're doing. We're not like, you're not abandoning the rawness, but you're just like, let's make this refine it. It's like if it's mechanics, you're like, oh, well, you're great, but let's make this a little bit tighter to make this shit even more punchier.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? Since you got to see shit from the hip hop world, it's crazy that it's always came up together, you know, punk rock with hip hop back in the day and then hardcore. But it's crazy how it is. There's a lot of connection it may not be even vocal, but you could trace shit back to a lot of rap, a lot of, you know, hip hop guys, a lot of rappers to some type of fucking, like, you know, it's so crazy, which I get amped whenever I find somebody know some real hardcore shit. I'm like,
Yeah.
Yo, you know the superpower. You know the superpower.
Yeah, because it's like the cheat code. People are like, know about that. Like, yeah,
exactly.
That's the cheat. Yeah, people.
And because I heard that. So I had a friend. This girl, she was a babysitter for fucking Gwyneth Paltrow when they were doing the Iron Man shit. Right? And she said she had, I forgot what shirt on. It might have been like, it was a hardcore shirt. She was a hardcore girl. And that Robert Downey or whatever was like, yo, what you know about that? I think she, it might have been a Bad Brain shirt. And, and he's like, and she's like, but she's a hardcore girl. Also, she was like, everybody knows the Bad Brains. And and he's like, what do you know? And he's like, what? And that she goes, yo, he knows everything. Like a real dude into like real. And you hear about he's a punk rock dude, a hardcore dude. Same thing with Keanu Reeves. He had a some punk band, Agnostic Front, played with him back in the day. He went up to Rajan, all of them. He was like, yo, I love Agnostic Front. Yo, you don't understand. It was like an honor.
It's a big world, though.
Crazy.
It's a big world.
I know. But I forget.
You never, it's a big, because you know what? Forget, because it's in the world of just doing it. Like, hey, you live it. You live it. So you don't know the expansion. Like, yo. And some, you know, hardcore people grow to be, movie people to be the hardcore kids turn to all kind of shit, so they don't dress necessarily like hardcore kids no more, but they're like, yo, blah blah blah. You're like, dude, believe me, I know who Warzone is. I know who blah, blah, blah. They're like, what? They're like, yeah, I know who the mob is.
Exactly. When they hit you that, you're like, okay, yo, I know I bug out. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's where you hit my big mouth get speechless sometimes when I get caught off guard. I'm like, I love when those situations happen. Exactly. Like, everybody knows the Ramones, the Bad Brains. Right, everybody knows Black Flag. Okay, when you come up like that, you say Warzone or some leeway. Hey, I'll be like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, all right, all right.
You got to be into it to know those bands. Yeah. You got to be into it to know Killing Time or even when they were Raw Deal and all that other Super Touch and all that other stuff. No, yeah, it's not fringy. You know what I mean? You got to delve a little bit deeper.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because you did the hip hop shit and you've done this hardcore and the band shit in general. Mm-hmm. What do you think hip hop could learn from hardcore from in every aspect of it? From how you, not so much, you know, obviously different types of music, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From the hustle.
Well, you know, both have hustles. Like, the independent hip-hop shit got hustles as far as, like, putting out music themselves. I think I'll say it like this. I'm going to say what I think both could learn from each other.
All right,
I think
hip-hop
could learn to put on better shows. Like, hip-hop needs to learn how to do better shows and to, like, take – because in the back in the days, they did. You had to know how to perform. I think hip-hop has to be – if it goes back to, like, yo, your touring is it. Your merchandising is it. Because, you know, bands, we know that that's a big part of our income and stuff. So we treat that very, like, big. So I think if hip-hop people start thinking more like, yo, listen, I'm going to blow these motherfuckers away on stage. I'm going to give everything. I'm going all out. 30 minutes, 15, 10 minutes. I would like to see. I think they could learn that. But then I think on hardcore, I think hardcore should think learn more about hip-hop, about owning their masters and owning shit. Like, because hip-hop cat Master P knew about, nah, fuck that, 80-20 us.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't have money. So, hey, put our shit out. Fuck it, cool. And then it's like, you own my shit? What the fuck? Yeah. You own all our shit? And I think hip-hop figured, like, not everyone in hip-hop, but I think at a certain point in hip-hop figured that out. Like, nah, this is not going to work for us.
You know, it's fucking true. You know, we signed a fucking bum deal with Roadrunner, but you know, all mad love to Roadrunner. Shout out to Roadrunner.
Right.
But we signed the deal that you get in when you get the record deal for Dummies example in a book.
Right.
That's the one we signed. Right. But we knew what we were signing. We had the again, Madball. We didn't think we were gonna be a real band. We had some shows, and then we had, you know, the biggest metal label at the time saying, "Yo, we want to sign you." And we were like, why? You know, in our heads, we're like, really?
Take the opportunity.
Like, we were like, you bubble. Yo, we'll sign. I tell the story a million times. We were like, we didn't even have a fucking music lawyer. Our lawyer did plumbing. He was a lawyer for like fucking,
you know,
for construction. He looked at it. I never forget this. He goes, well, it's a contract. That's what I signed. I was like, where do I sign? Do I sign here? I don't give a fuck.
And granted, different times too. I think the times you're talking about, like, people weren't thinking about ownership. I don't think in hip hop too, people weren't thinking about ownership into maybe the late 90s And the indie guys in hip hop, you know, the E40s, the Master P's, even on the East Coast, the guys like Necro and people still like, start thinking about, all right, let's own our shit. So I think that's what, at this point, I don't, you know, before the back of the days, it's different because, you know, our opportunity could bring you to the world. I think now, and granted, I want to see more, especially the urban cats. The urban cats who like, yo, labor, put so much labor in. It's like, yo, you know what, dude? Let's own our shit. Yeah. Let these motherfuckers just distribute it and let them get less money and we get the majority because we're putting all the work. It's our creation. It's our labor. That's just how, you know, so I think we hip hop and hardcore can learn from each other.
Yeah, that's for sure. They both color. I love them both. You know what I mean? You know, I love and hate them both, you know, for certain reasons, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, see, like I said, with both at its finest are great. And both at his lowest are like,
I know, extra.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. But no, I mean, one thing I think about hardcore, you got to be, you realize there's not money in it. So you have to love it. But hip hop, even the underground hip hop, if you get big, you're making pretty fucking good money. You know what I mean? You become a big underground rapper. You're making good money. With hardcore, you've been kicking ass for a long time before the money starts getting at least decent.
And you're still
a working class guy.
Yeah.
You're not even like, you know, it's not like you got to have some.
Absolutely. You know, there's no royalties. Everybody out there in podcast land, there ain't no royalties paying shit off and fucking in this world. Well, at least not to us, to the Madball camp. You know what I mean? But we also ain't one of these people, you know, crying about that shit, but I'm just letting people in our personal life for one second. We ain't getting no fucking royalties checks for shit.
I want that to change. I think Mad Boy definitely get fucking royalties. I think that Set It Off is one of the greatest songs ever created. So I think it's like, fuck.
I like that. That's my shit right
there. It's a fact.
And it's funny what you said before when we were talking about, you were talking about influences with James Brown and G-Rap. Well, G-Rap is, again, Corona.
Right.
Polo was the custodian in 61 when I was going there in my junior high school. And he was another guy who made it, and big influence, G-Rap, my favorite rapper right there.
I wrote
It Off to Rakim to fucking I Ain't No Joke, because this was before drum machines. I would hear the video on Video Music Box and I would play to the drums. And then I wrote Set It Off to that song. Everything had to have. I told myself this: if you ain't gonna kill somebody to my music, I want you to at least bop your head to it. And if I bop your head to it, I got you.
Because it's that groove. I say the lineage of the Set It Off, because it's like, don't set it off on the left, y'all straight.
Yeah.
Then it's Big Daddy Kane set it off.
All
and then
that
y'all set it off.
Yeah, you and that's with those slangs exactly. And
of course, street shit. I knew right away. I was like, oh, yeah, it's street shit. Yo, what's up? Set it off.
Set it. Always, exactly. We used to be like, set it off on the left. That was my shit. And we were, shit. I remember even when, like, hold it down when we, you know, obviously it's a little phrase, maybe not that as popular worldwide, but you know, it's a slang word. But I had said that in some older cats at the time were like, people are not going to even understand that. What do you mean? And I'm like, yo, we holding it down. Like, you know, hold shit down, you know, hold down whatever you know, and they were looking at me like, people are not going to get it. And I'm like, it's funny though. It's like how it comes out in the wash, you know, you can't help it, you know.
But it's New York. It's that fabric. It's the fabric. And it's funny because like y'all influences is still, you know, there's bands all over the world that you would think they're from like little Lower East Side, little Corona, little something.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, they're speaking a different language. And it's basically they're like y'all's son. You know what I mean? And that's ill. That's ill. That's respect to whoever, you know, everybody. I'm just saying that's ill. That's that something that it spread that much. You know what I mean? And even that bop, even that groove, that like, you know, that old groove, that's when I heard it, I was like, I can tell hip hop. You know, I can feel it's that hip hop feel. And then even with Killing Time and Breakdown too.
Yeah, you know, that's what I loved about New York hardcore, especially that, you know, 88, 89 era. It was that where the punk rock part was all right. It was in the DNA, but now it was the punk rocker's younger brother. So he was a little bit more swaggier.
Right.
He got the right. He learned from his big brother, but he got his own thing. And he also was bringing in his other thing with a little more flavor. That's what I liked when I saw the Killing Time, you know, the raw deals, the breakdowns. I was like, I don't need nothing else. I go, okay, they're wearing sneakers.
Yeah.
I like boots. I got DMs, but I also want to rock my, you know, my sneakers or, you know, I don't, you know, I don't want to be all the time in a fucking button down. I want to rock a triple fat or a hoodie. You know what I mean?
And champion hoodie or something.
Oh yeah. And let me ask you this. Where's the, so you made it out to Cali. Where did you, where's your favorite place to play besides, you know, New York?
Well, on the tour we did, my favorite, so on the tour we went in September, we went to like Virginia, North Carolina, Atlanta, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas,
Iowa. Did you do Detroit?
No, we didn't do Detroit. We did Chicago. We did Chicago. We did St. Louis. We did Rochester. We did. So my favorites were Arkansas was fire. Little Rock, Arkansas was fire. Cooksville, Tennessee was fire. Rochester was fire too.
Yeah, that's dope. Rochester
those people understood what was going on. But I don't have a favorite yet. I think we gotta get the world acclimated. Like, you know, when they sing it every word for word, they're not gonna be like,
yeah, then come back be a little
I'll be like, no, hey, but you can,
but you can still feel like exactly where that you could tell where a seed's been planted. You know what I mean? You know, places like that.
Little Rock, Arkansas, and Cooksville, Tennessee. And Arkansas.
Tennessee's been popping the last couple of years. Like Tennessee always had people, but we would randomly throughout the years go somewhere. But shout out to Tennessee. They always had something. And I think, again, they're popping, you know, again, in general. So they like music.
They like music. I mean, but we're ready for the world, man. Cali was fun, but we need to go out to Cali again and really show them, let them understand what the fuck is going on. You know what I'm saying?
And fucking anything. All you guys just do this band? Any other bands? Do you do any other side projects?
Fuck all that. I mean, I rap still, but I don't really pursue it like that. You know what I mean? I got two like solo EPs that just came out. Some labels put it out, but whatever. I rhyme in my sleep. Not to say it like that. Like I've been rhyming so long, I rap. Yeah, I can really rhyme. I mean, everyone else, the majority of us, this is what we do. You know, cats might take, like me, I might take a job to work, pay the bills, but I don't, this is what I do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I take a job to keep the bills going, just like, gotta go on the road. I'm going on the road. I'm going on the road. I'm not into this, like, do six bands into one hit. Nah, fuck all that, man.
Yeah.
I'm too invested in this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I came up with the name Rebelmatic. I come up with the I write all the lyrics and I come up. So I don't have time to cut myself thin and be like, oh, this is going to be for the other band. Nah.
I feel you. I was the same way. Yeah.
All or nothing. We're going to make a hit with this one or we're going to, or hey, that's it.
And the next move is trying to get those songs out, right? Putting that whole shit out, right?
Yeah. The next move is getting back on tour. Going back on the road, man. Fuck. The album is gonna be. We're gonna have that. We'll have that pretty much. 2022. We'll have that finished, mixed, and mastered and stuff. And we'll shop it. We'll see who's talking the right talk. We'll see who's talking because we'll have the album. My goal is to have it done, video, all that shit. Doing as much as possible ourselves. So now it's like, okay, we got this done. What's up?
Well,
we can take you're taking what? What are you taking? If you're not, we've already given you a full album mixed and mastered. We already got everything is done. The artwork is done. We got video shot. What are we talking about? It's like, oh, well, I need a publicist. I need this and that. I need distribution so people can go to the stores or there's still stores to pick it up. And I need a strong ass publicist. We got a booking agent already. So it's like, and then if you want to give us some tour support, please. We want tour support.
Yeah.
Otherwise, What are we talking about? You know, I don't want to say I'm on a label just to say I'm on a label and they're not doing nothing.
Yeah, that shit don't mean nothing. Like Def Jam back in the day when you remember, yo, I'm on Def Jam.
Yeah,
that shit don't mean nothing no more.
Yeah, it's like, when's your album coming out?
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, you on Def Jam? You're working here with me.
Exactly.
You're like, yeah, I know.
I know that shit. Man, yeah,
it's too much.
Go ahead, not.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's just crazy how that shit works out. You know, just in general, like the whole label shit, and nowadays we don't need a label to do that. You know, and you're doing it the smart way. That is, you know, anything I would do forward would be that way. Like, you know, get your product together.
Yeah,
when you and I think you'll sell yourself better when you invest that much time in yourself because you'll know. You got to really be into it to do that, like you said. You know.
Yep. And I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to blame anyone for not promoting us. I don't want to do like, but that's why I'm. And plus, like I said, this is not something that came one overnight. It's like you grow into a mindset of that. But I'm like, nah, bro. Like, we here to secure the compound. So it's like we have to make sure that we gonna get royalties off of shit. You know, that. I'm sick of artists. Y'all not getting it. And I'm not saying that's just a travesty. No, y'all are legends. People are like, fuck all that. This act's just corny. Not on y'all part.
No, I know. It's crazy. I say this. I agree 1,000,000,000%. I say the same shit. You know, I was saying it not too long ago on another podcast where I was like, you know, even with the like, I was like, I want to, you know, this scene is one of the most loved and also people took from our scene, disrespected this scene, but we don't have the things like these other scenes, like our cousin scenes. Look at like metal, like all of us, we love metal. I love metal. But we don't got a Metal Gods award show. Stigma needs a fucking award. Roger needs an award. These dudes like that, you know, the Bad Brains, these dudes need awards. These dudes done shit that transcended fucking
everyone,
the squat. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, we don't got that.
And y'all need an award though for keeping it, for doing what y'all did, because y'all contribute a whole fucking bunch too, it's like, we get it. Love Bad Brains, love Roger and Vinny, love AF, love everybody, but y'all the ones that learn from that too, that have been holding it down. So people, and y'all been the sick of it all. So, you know, these are y'all the ones been consistently with it, keeping that shit lit. So y'all deserve that shit too. But maybe this discussion sparks something, because the reality of it is too, no one's gonna do nothing for you unless you do it. So you're doing it yourself, right? So it's like, why would an outside person feel like they need to like take care of a scene that they don't fucking care about?
Exactly.
Once the tree has been taken, all the fruit's been taken from there, like, chop the shit down, get rid of it. We don't care. You're like, whoa, this is our, who cares? It doesn't, no more fruit. It doesn't be any more fruit. We're not interested.
Exactly. And that's what people don't understand. That's why, you know, people think the same thing. Why even with the podcast, I said, I love my scene that much where, you know, I'm doing my part. I love doing this. I get to touch base. I learn about music and about, you know, I'm part of the greatest scene on the planet, not just New York hardcore, just the underground hardcore punk movement, period. At its best, like you said, it's untouchable. And I'm like, but we do this shit for the love of it. You know, you could be doing anything else. Right. Also, you touch base. Also, hey, we touch base to people, like-minded people. I tell people, this is the news network, not just mine, but all these podcasts are like the news networks of our world. It don't have to be, you know, the everything fucked up that happened, but just touching base on real time, more or less, on what's going on with the people in our community. You know what I mean? And that's because I love it that much. And it's watering our plant that we all live off. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we need the new bands so the old bands live. The old bands need, you know, and vice versa. You know what I mean? And it's very important to support more than ever now in these crazy times.
Absolutely. Listen, I appreciate even having a song, having me on here, because to me, it's like, you know, there's still people are just really starting to get to hear. Like you said, we're now it's like they're getting it. People start the name is our name is starting to resonate more, and this I think this is gonna help it as well, because you know, you're you and what you do, you carve your niche out already, y'all. You know, the bones, you made your bones, kid.
Yeah, working. No, but I also since I'm a kid, I always took pride and I always did it with, if it was with new hip hop or with new hardcore, I always like keeping my ear to the streets, because right. I always like being the dude to put somebody else on something dope. Like if there's a clean well, I want to bring it to my boy. I want to bring it. I don't want you to go.
Yeah.
I want to bring it to you. Taste this.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like where, you know, and I like, oh, it's dope, right? Because I love doing that. And I do that with music and I pay attention.
Right.
I also pay attention what's going around in my environment. I'm not one of these bitter old dudes. There's a lot of bitter old dudes. You know, I got a lot of reasons to be bitter, but I got more reasons to be happy. I'm a fucking live. My sons are healthy. We here. We talk. Absolutely. We got Wi-Fi signal. Shit could be worse. I tell motherfuckers they're talking. They're mad and they're leaving a fucking mad thing on their Instagram. I'm like, yo, you got Wi-Fi? Probably a new iPhone. You all right?
Yeah. And if you got a place to sleep and you got some food to eat, man, you doing better.
You
could
be worse. There's a lot. You know,
you
I hear you. Worse. I hear you. I understand all you people right now on the edge of a skyscraper about to jump off. Listen, I get it. You got it, but we all have it. We have a. We're very lucky to do this shit. I'm glad, but I've been paying attention to you guys, and that's why I was glad to get you on here. It's gonna touch base to see what was going on, and
right on.
Anything you want to let everybody out there, where they could catch you guys, where they could email you or find your music and all that shit.
Rebel. Thank you, Hoya, for having me on here, man. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man, for coming on.
And you know, Madball is an institution at this fucking point in hardcore and in music, period. Rebelmatic NYC, everything. Check us out, you know, IG, follow us. You want to see what we're performing. We'll have the website. We're working on the website, rebooting it. You know, all our stuff, the links are in the bio of the IG. You know, Spotify, Rebelmatic. It's simple. We ain't got to go too much in depth, but stay in tune, because it's too much to say what's going on, but it's a lot going on. You know what I mean?
There's a lot going on.
One thing is for sure. All right, I don't know when this is coming out, but right now we just did something with Doc Martens. You know, we did a...
I saw that. I was going to say that was dope. That was real dope. I just saw that the other day.
Well, thank you. Doc Martens presenting. They, you know, they the homegirl, shout out to her, Jeanette, she, you know, she they asked her to shoot a video on DIY culture, and it happens to be at the right time. You know what I mean? They showed up, show love, and you know, DIY NY. You know, at the forefront of that right now. So we appreciate it. Shout out to them. You know, tell them to fucking put sponsor this next fucking tour. We'd be really groovy. But you know,
yeah,
it's good. It's good. It's good. Life is, man, look, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be on the podcast. I'm happy to be here in general in life. And good. We keep working and keep staying positive and just like trudging forward and hopefully share a stage with y'all sooner than later. You know what I mean? But just keep in tune with us. Rebelmatic NYC, everything. We got a bunch of albums out there. We got some stuff dropping probably in another couple months, a single, and the new album be out some point 2022.
Hell yeah, sounds good, man. I'm glad you were on. Definitely everybody, make sure to tune in. Follow the whole movement. And I'm saying this, we're going to do some shows. Whenever we can start playing some shows, we got to hook up some shows together. And you guys got to do the Black and Blue. I got to I'm throwing, you guys got to jump on that shit too. I don't book that, but you know, my voice got some stroke sometimes. But listen, one love. I'm glad you were on. Yo, mad love to the fat. Yo, Corona all day. Yo, Rebelmatic. One love. And we talk soon. I'll send you the info. Yep.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.